Hi, this is Pirate David Jones with PiratePods.com. Tonight, I'm sitting with Chapel of Thieves. Very happy to have this opportunity. We'll discuss a little bit of their history. So if you just please introduce yourselves, that'd be great.
I am Alicia. I play keyboards and sing.
What's up? This is Ryan. I play guitar. Do some background vocals.
My name's Woody. I play drums.
And my name's Jesse, and I try and play the guitar.
And our bass player is not with us this evening. Okay. His name is Todd.
Has a story.
Tell me yours.
Our story is, I guess Ryan and Woody and I used to be in a band called Blood Soaked Hands before this, and that band broke up, and then we formed Chapel of Thieves when
almost 2 years ago. Almost 2 years.
Yeah.
On May 2005.
We wanted to try a new style of music, basically. That's kind of what broke up Blood Soaked Hands. Not anything negative, just musicians coming together, wanting to do something different. And
yeah.
So we already had a pretty good core right here with Woody on drums, me on guitar, and Alicia on vocals. And then we needed just to find some other people, which we did, and we started bringing out what is now our music, which is Chapel of Thieves music.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to do something original, just because there's, you know, not that much original stuff around anymore, so we wanted to try and bring that to the table. And
we all come from really cool different backgrounds, right?
Yeah.
So Woody and I were in a hardcore band once, and then like Alicia Blood Soaked Hands, when we joined her band, it was kind of a mix of punk and some other types of elements. And then now, like I said, we just formed a group to make Chapel of Thieves music.
A new noise being born.
Chapel of Thieves is like, it's very creative, it's innovative, and it has a lot of imagination. It's a very well-rounded style, but it has a lot of roots to it, I think. And I'm new to the band, but I've known Alicia for a very long time, and I've just met Woody and Ryan just recently, but I think there's tremendous potential to where the possibilities are pretty much endless where we're looking to go. So I'm very, very excited to see what the outcome is, especially, I mean, the new album I think should be just phenomenal. So I'm stoked.
Excellent, and excellent. Would you like to carry on a little bit about the new album? That's
We are working on finishing it, hopefully by the beginning of next year. And we are recording down in Santee with Jeff Forrest, Double
Amazing,
Time Studios.
Amazing engineer slash producer.
Jeff Forrest is God.
Double Time Studios.
Yeah, Double Time Studios. So hopefully we'll be finishing it right around the beginning of the new year, and releasing it hopefully right around when we release our music video that we're doing.
So it is one music video that you have upcoming as well. Would it be, and you said that this would actually take place around the same time of the album release, correct?
Yeah, that's what we're shooting for. We're doing a music video to our song called Haunted Hearts. Why can't we lose it all and just be free from all of the obstacles? Set it away, take to the sea where there is only freedom. No less to be told, no one to betray. It's probably more of a slower type feel to it, but I play accordion, and it's very, what's the word I want to use?
That's the thing, it's hard to find words about. Without trying to be self-congratulatory or anything like that, it's hard to find the word to kind of describe some of our songs. It's hard to describe Haunted Hearts. So we're going to try to do it some way visually.
Which is good, I think, because it basically can paint a picture to the listener's ear. You know, it doesn't really have a one-sided type of sound or anything like that, which, you know, reiterates the thing about a broad, you know, imagination to whoever's listening to it. They can take it for whatever they think it is and however it sounds to them. But it's, I think the song, it's more of kind of, I think maybe like a single, it would be like more of a single, you know, that would come out. And a lot of the songs have their own little, I would say, special qualities about them, and they're all indifferent.
They're all a lot different.
They're all indifferent.
Every song we have is.
Do you guys agree?
Yeah.
Definitely.
We bring like different elements to each song, which is, you know, I think it's a good quality to have. But this song is definitely the one that we chose the video for, and also the director. We're working with an amazing director named Billy Henderson, and he got our demo, listened to it, and we had thought about doing it to this song, but we were, you know, kind of just wanted to hear what he had to say, and that was definitely his first pick, just because of the mood of the song. So he's an amazing director, and we're really, really, really lucky to have him working with us on the video. We're so excited to be doing it, and we should be shooting it in a couple weeks.
It is a great song. I have to admit, it kept me guessing, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we like to do.
Yeah. So would you feel that that's a beauty in song? You know, beauty in music is that it's something that keeps the listener guessing. What I find with music is that the listener, and I'm certainly a listener, often misinterprets what the musician really meant. But would you say that's the beauty in forming your music and creating it?
That's definitely part of the beauty of music, is you can take a song that someone else, it might have a completely different meaning to them, but you take it and you personalize it and it becomes a part of your own life. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Definitely can give you your own feelings in it, maybe even different opinions of things that you never thought about before, and that's the beauty of music.
Yeah, I think different interpretation is better almost than misinterpretation, because it's just a different angle. It's not like you missed anything, or, you know, it's like an anti kind of word, and it's an antonym, or it's not the right word. It's like you interpreted it some way. Even the artist that wrote it, I don't think can say you misinterpreted it. It's like, okay, thanks for your feeling on it, and that's the way I would feel about when we write songs. That's what I would hope. I would never feel like anyone was off.
Yeah.
I also think for the musician that's playing the music too, and you're playing these songs, and if it can bring a new light every time you play it, maybe it might bring a different feeling,
yeah,
you know, from the time before. And then that's a good thing, because it keeps it fresh and it keeps it new, and it always keeps you wondering and exploring, you know. So
yeah,
that's what it means to me anyways when I play, and I try and create songs that explore those feelings, you know. So
excellent.
Yeah, even us, we might interpret it one week.
We do,
and
I
then
know we do.
Then the next time we play it, like, wow, I never really felt that way before. I never really saw it like that. You know what I mean? So it's definitely, you know, an ongoing process, and hopefully that's, you know, the same type of thing that happened to people that listen to our music, like keep rediscovering things in our music that they never felt or heard before.
That tells me something. I mean, that brings up another question. So if the feeling you obtain from, you know, making your music, right, one thing to do in close quarters, but when you're doing this in front of people,
mm-hmm,
right, do you ever get a reaction from them that you didn't expect? Do you notice that?
We definitely...
it's a good and
coming
question.
Coming from all of our backgrounds, Woody and Ryan were in a hardcore band called All or Nothing. Pretty hardcore band. Jesse used to be in a band called Spoonfed with Todd, our bass player. And then me, Ryan, and Woody used to be in Blood Soaked Hands, which was a pretty, like, straightforward punk rock type of band. And Chapel of Thieves is not at all like any of the bands that we've been in before. However, we've all been in bands like that before, so we keep getting offered shows with these punk bands, which of course, I mean, we all have that in our roots. But the crowd that we sometimes play for is like we'll get booked on a show where all the other bands are a lot more, you know, rockin', and we definitely can rock. I mean, we have some rockin' songs, but we have variety. So when we throw in like a slower song or
like Haunted Hearts
or one of our songs called Antithesis, something more just melodic, and you know, which we all personally love just because we like to have that variety. But some of the crowd for shows like that, we do get a reaction that is kind of like, huh, you know, you could just look at their face and they just want to rock the pit all night long and like break things, and they look at us
punk rock forever.
I mean, and they look at us like, what, come on, like your next song, you know. And so, and not all the time, I mean, we do actually have people that you would never think would like our slower songs. Some of the most hardcore, tattooed, like heavily, like been to prison. I mean, I do have a friend like that, and he's like, you know, that song Haunted Hearts, it just moves me, and that's my favorite one. And I'm
don't
like,
tell anybody
yeah,
I said that.
And I've heard that actually from quite a few guys that you would not think. And then we have girls that are like, I don't really like that song, and you would think that, you know. So I guess, I mean, it is good to keep everyone guessing, but we have all experienced that at shows before, when you kind of look out in the crowd and you can tell, like, you know, they were very much having fun, getting all rowdy in the pit, and then we start our slow song and they're like, oh, they don't know what to do for a while. go up and get a drink at the bar and come back.
But there's another angle to that recently when you asked about what happens when you play live. We've been playing a song we've been playing for over a year, and now there's some strange chant that comes from the crowd, and I wouldn't say that it's completely not laced with obscenities, but it's a little chant that someone's made up, and it's kind of sticking to this one song that we play, and we love it. Like, there's like a break in the song and they yell, they can't yell what they yell, and then then we stop again and they yell again, and it's like I don't know. So there's like some things that's evolving where people like have heard the songs enough and they're coming up with their own little interpretations, you know, and reactions to it. We love it. And now I'm expecting it. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is really cool to get, when you have, you know, people that keep coming to your shows, and then you see more and more people, and then you keep seeing the same faces, and they know the lyrics. And, I mean, we had one of our first shows where we discovered we had a number one fan, we like to call her, and we would look out, and she was singing every lyric to our song, and I was like, oh my god, and we were all tripping out, like, is she really singing? And you know, it was a really cool feeling.
Someone other than my sister.
That's actually what
someone we didn't know. It was nice.
Yeah, it wasn't Woody's sister, Elena.
It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It was a fan. That's when we actually started getting, okay, we really gotta buckle down and write more and take this more seriously, because there's people that are enjoying it, and that's so awesome.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that, give my two cents, that people, when they listen to something for various reasons, I mean, we don't even know why, man. I mean, I remember being younger and you know, thinking, oh wow, you know, I just have to, you know, put something on and, you know, put the headphones on or blast my stereo, whatever, but it means something for that moment in life, and really people do see musicians is something rather spiritual, even godlike.
Yeah.
So it is an important thing.
Yeah.
Very important.
The fact that we can make someone feel like that is just I still am just, you know, it's kind of like unbelievable, just because I've experienced that myself with bands that I like, you know, so much to where, you know, if there's times in my life I was so depressed or so whatever, and you put on a certain song and then you automatically, it like washes that feeling away, or you're driving in your car and you're crying because there's a song that you just, that touches you so much. And the fact that, you know, we did actually have the same girl that I was talking about, she said that, you know, she was crying and singing our song, and that was just like kind of like, wow, you know, I can't believe it. And I know the feeling as a fan of many other bands, you know, so the fact that she said that about us was just really, really amazing.
Oh yeah, that's a good feeling.
Just the fact of being able to instill any kind of emotion into someone, especially someone you don't even know at all, it's an amazing feeling, you know. Just make them feel something that they never felt before, or help them get through something that they're going through in their life, you know, at the time. It's just, it's something that I want to, you know, want to pursue for sure.
Because even if you didn't mean it, even if you didn't mean it that way, if it only meant something to you, and that's possible, right? I mean,
yeah.
Know, right?
Yeah, it's all kind of...
It's
all,
yeah, it's yeah.
Just better if someone can hear it, but we do it to start, to get it out of ourselves. And I kind of felt like this thing to say, we kind of feel the need to give back to the bands and the music that you enjoyed, in a way, like to give, and so some way you just kind of put in your work to kind of fuel the fire that we all... get warm from.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's a real natural thing. It's not unnatural at all, which makes it, that's why I couldn't even really live without music in my life. And so it's a real, when you're on stage and you're playing, when I'm playing with this band, I really feel completely natural, and just my blood runs a lot hotter. It's going, you know, and I'm feeling good, and it's real, and that's what I'm enjoying. And
Jesse's born again rocker. He's back with the spirit again.
I'm in there.
It certainly has to be one of the greatest highs. I hear that a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, certainly hear that a lot. So, can any of you tell me what inspires you to create your music? I mean, is there any one thing that just keeps you going, keeps you wanting to create?
Money and chicks. Well, maybe in a small way. Just kidding.
Someone had to lighten the mood.
Yeah, no, perfect timing. That's awesome.
Gotta
say it.
I don't know. Just for me, I remember being, really young, like 8 maybe, and I think it was Michael Jackson.
Oh no!
I think it was the Dirty Diana song. I don't know. I just know that, I mean, back in the day, I remember being real little and listening to music, and it was like, I just had this feeling come over me, and it was just something that I can't really explain or describe, and I mean, I'm sure everyone, you know, can kind of relate, but just certain melodies and harmonies, and I mean, just the mood and the feel of music. Certain songs were, I mean, it was like a feeling that I got from nothing else. And I started playing piano when I was really young, like 6 or 7, and always sang and was in choir. And I just, my family on both sides, you know, of my grandparents on both sides are very, very musical, and my parents. So I think it just was instilled in me, and I'm sure. I don't know. I'm sure that's kind of the same.
I'm right
the same
there.
For Jesse.
I grew up in music. My whole family's music, and my dad builds jazz guitars for a living. So I'm like a melting pot of many different music. I started playing guitar at a very young age, and it's just been a part of my life for a long time. And if I could put this in there too, I've been in the Marine Corps for the last 4 years. I just gotten out. I got out 10 months ago. So I was in the infantry, and I just came back from not being in music. I was firing a machine gun. So for me, it's to be back in music again. It's like the biggest breath of fresh air that anyone can give to me. And so I'm very thankful right now. Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty heavy. Well, I don't want to be heavy, but like that's real to me. So,
the question was heavy. I mean, why are you doing
that's,
this?
That's thing, why so. I'm doing it, and it's what makes me wake up and feel good and be psyched, you know. So yeah, I've been through a lot of heavy stuff, but that's kind of like
for me a little different. I didn't grow up in a musical family whatsoever, but I've just always known since a young age that music's what I love, and it's what I want to do, and it's actually probably one of the only things that I would consider myself actually pretty good at, you know. And I just want to be able to give something to people, you know what I mean? Do something that people possibly remember. I mean, it that might sound mildly egotistical, but it's just something, you know, just to be able to give people something is, you know, and do what you love and do what you're, you know, you're good at, and that's the only thing I'm good at. if you take out beer drinking.
Yeah, I was just gonna say very bad in drinking beer.
I'm good at drinking beer, but...
Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, definitely.
Right here.
We're like this.
Excellent.
I guess we're all going to... That's all I've ever wanted to do. And music does help you cope with things that don't go right in your life, whether you're little, old. Like, and as a musician, you can just turn to your instrument a lot. And kind of what I did growing up. And then being the youngest of five, they showed me Black Sabbath, and they showed me The Police, and Led Zeppelin, and some other good American bands, Pat Benatar, and then I couldn't really stop after that.
I can get real pissed off, and you know, rather than going out to a bar and picking a fight with somebody, I can go beat the hell out of my drums for an hour and feel great with the world. Like, wow, I just really got a lot of aggression out and a lot of energy. That's another aspect of playing music is... it helps you get a lot of aggression and a lot of emotion out. It's therapeutic in a way, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just the same for a listener, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why listeners go in the pit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
I find myself
taking out aggression.
I find myself in one more times than I can count.
Yeah, we've all been
chip
there.
Usually a couple shots of Jägermeister involved, but
front teeth are chipped because I'm being that type of listener, I should say, participating.
Well, why don't you all talk about a little bit about your music, your musical background. Could you all tell me what's the most embarrassing album in your collection?
It's a good one.
I totally know this one right now. I'll just straight up say it.
Let's hear it, Alicia.
Belle Biv DeVoe.
Oh, see, that's poison.
That's
not embarrassing.
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's what she finds embarrassing. Everyone finds their own things embarrassing.
Maybe like,
you know, but what's
I
cool,
like
what's,
that song. I don't
cool
care. I was thinking
else.
We should cover it. We
what's
could
cool
rock it up.
What's not cool to someone else is cool to other people.
Are you embarrassed for her?
I'm not even.
Maybe like,
let's hear yours.
You're in good company here.
I have a collection, but.
The most embarrassing.
Okay. Warrant.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
That's terrible. Okay,
it's, I got progressively worse. Yeah, I got maybe like Supertramp, Breakfast in America. I love that record. That's a good album. A lot of people would laugh at me for throwing that on.
So
you know
it's
what
Jesse.
I mean?
He said Warrant.
Jesse wins.
No, what? No, you didn't say yours.
Woody kind of heckled me the other day when he saw Alanis Morissette.
Oh God.
So hey. That's pretty embarrassing.
We all have embarrassing albums.
And then sometimes we keep CDs of ex-girlfriends. Okay, there's no excuse.
Oh, yeah.
It's a likely excuse, right?
My burned copy of John Cougar Mellencamp. Yeah, I have a couple of them.
I have some good ones.
Or not.
That too. Thank you, guys. That was great.
Yeah, thanks for letting me air that. Great.
Next time people are seeing me, they're going to be like, Super Trap, Breakfast in America, bigger thing.
Yeah, that's it. Could you all tell me a little bit about Buried Wings?
Buried Wings.
Yeah.
That song, lyrically, I will kind of divulge into this. That song was about an ex-boyfriend of mine who screwed me over pretty bad. With a friend of mine. Yep. And, you know, when people screw you over, it's so easy to write songs all the time. Like, it's really actually, I would like to thank him. Thank you. You know who you are if you're listening to this. He helped me write a lot of really great songs lyrically. So I guess it was a good thing maybe that it happened. And that song is pretty much about just going backwards in relationships and not expecting certain things, and then loving someone and hating them at the same time, and that is where that is lyrically, and then musically that song I play organs on, because we tried to have kind of like a creepy rock feel to it, I guess.
I'm not afraid to die.
diversified song cuts, different styles, a couple different styles of the song. And then she just used the example we just talked about, and she's got her feelings out.
Yes.
And then that's very great, so whatever type of words you can put to it.
And I think that the subject matter can pretty much go to anyone out there. You know, I think everyone's had something like that happen to them, and you know, and can relate. But I think the music too really brings the color all together, because it's kind of a dark theme, and
yeah,
and
a dark subject.
It is a dark subject. It's not like balloons and candy and bubblegum and all that stuff. It's heavy business sometimes.
Still hard and driving.
It is.
Very, an interesting song.
It's very passion-filled.
It's one of my favorite songs.
And hence the title, Buried Wings, you know, like this person that you hold in this light that you think is a great person, and then you find out what they did, and it's kind of like a fallen angel, buried wings, you know.
That is your angel.
Yeah. Alicia derives a lot of her inspiration from the dark side of the forest.
The dark side. Yes.
Makes you want to send somebody like that to the dark side.
Yeah.
The dark can bring the light, and the light
can bring
the dark.
He's in the dark side. That's for sure.
Excellent. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, could you tell me what's to love about the place you live? Are you all natives of this area? I believe that.
Southern California, yes.
Now we've moved. I mean, members of the band have moved for the band.
Yeah.
There's a couple of members. Me and Woody and I have just basically realized we had to alter our lives for Chapel of Thieves. And we're pretty much glad they did. It's not easy in this world. You know, it takes some time. But now we are all in the area. They kind of, Jesse, Alicia, and Todd all kind of grew up together. And then the reason I'm in this is because I saw Alicia Moon sing about 3 years ago. And I was just a guitar player in between things. You know, it's you just find yourself on your own. So I was auditioning and going out and scouting. And I saw her own the stage at the Coach House. And said I want to be in her band. Kind of called my shot, just auditioned, and you know, whatever, for whatever reason, found myself in there. And then I brought Woody from the Inland Empire, because he's one of the best drummers in the Inland Empire, and now he's on the coast with us. So we've rearranged our lives for Chapel.
I grew up in the San Bernardino Mountains, like Lake Arrowhead area, and basically moved right to the bottom of the mountain in the little scummy basin or whatnot. And recently, as of August, I moved down here to basically participate more in this band.
We're just making it our lives.
Which is what's making it possible for me to be here for this interview. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful down here. I love it.
Yeah.
And I love being closer to my band. And it's been a great vibe ever since I moved down here.
Absolutely. That's why we never leave.
Yeah. I basically grew up here in San Clemente. Grew up since I was 2 years old. Since I can't remember. But I grew up skating and surfing and just pretty much living Orange County lifestyle, going to shows and, you know, tearing it up. But, I've
been turned it up.
Happy to be back here. I'm happy to be back. Went away for 4 years and now I'm back here and
now we're rocking.
Doing what I want to do. So yeah. I'm psyched.
Yeah, imagine you missed the music.
Oh.
During that 4 years, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Creativity. Independence, so
yeah.
Individuality, that type of stuff.
Well, anyone tell me the first album we purchased?
The first album ever?
Yeah, first album you ever purchased or had your folks purchase for you.
Fat Boys Crushin'. I swear, when I was in like fourth grade, Fat Boys, I was all into the hip hop, the rap, Run DMC, I was big into that. When I was a little kid, for sure. But I think that is the first album that I ever owned on audio cassette was Fat Boys.
Isn't it great to be young?
I don't remember the first one I ever owned. I think... Oh, God. I don't even want to say who I think it is. I think it was Milli Vanilli. But...
That's worse than Fat Boys.
But it might have been New Kids on the Block. I don't know which one it was. And I swear that's the truth. I don't even care. I'm admitting it. I don't even care. Or George Michael. Maybe. I don't know. They're all like the same. They're all like the same. So
Make It Big's a great record.
I still like George Michael, by the way. I really do. So that's all.
Okay. Let's move on.
Moving on.
Careless Whispers is a wonderful song. That's just, yeah.
Yeah, that's rather painful.
But you have any recollection of
that's
that?
That's funny that we mentioned Pat Benatar already. Pat Benatar, Crimes of Passion. But of course you'd ask a question to date me more than these youngsters, the fat boy. I mean, I'd owned about 100,000 records by the time Woody bought his first one. But Pat Benatar, Crimes of Passion.
I really can't remember the first album I bought, but I'll say the most prominent album that someone bought for me, just to switch it up a little bit, was Bad Religion, No Control, which I had no idea about punk rock. I was more into metal and more of the Metallica, the early days of Metallica and the metal scene, and then someone bought me a Bad Religion album, 8085 and No Control, and from then on my life kind of changed from that. So
yeah, me good. Too. That's Bad Religion good. Changed my life too. That's that was good. The first punk band I ever was like, oh my god.
They certainly are groundbreaking.
Yeah,
sure.
Very.
We're seventh grade. Like
we're all big Bad Religion fans for sure.
Yeah, huge.
I can see why.
We actually at the show that we just played with TSOL last weekend, we just we covered Yesterday, Bad Religion's Yesterday. Yeah. It was really cool.
Which rocked.
Yeah.
It's a fun song to play.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hey, great. I think Bad Religion's a great segue. And certainly growing up listening to them, I remember they helped me put into words, I mean, at a very young age. You know, some of the things that I was thinking, some of the things that were just so absurd in the world.
Yeah.
A lot of absurdities these days.
Very.
Great girlfriend helped you put it into very big words.
Yeah. well-structured verses of anger and angst.
Yes. And intelligence.
Well-written, descriptive.
Yes.
Yeah, that's set forth in an intelligent manner, which makes you think, as a young kid listening to them, like, wow, maybe I should really look into that subject and really find out for myself what's going on.
I would always take the lyrics to my mom, the CD cover, and I'd be like, what does ubiquitous mean? And what does this mean? And, you know, in love with Greg Graffin. My mom, every song, my mom would know the lyrics to, and she'd explain everything to me. And, I mean, my mom was really, really, she went, actually, me and my brother took her to a Bad Religion concert, and my mom was the only one there, like, singing every lyric, standing up. And
yeah.
It was really, really cool.
That is cool.
It was really, really cool.
Every time my father would try and harp on me about punk rock music, and that we just, we're a bunch of kids that just go out, we're out to go beat people up and thrash, and I would tell him, no, we're about new, the creation of the future and what's new and creating a new idea. And then I would be like, Dad, here's Bad Religion. And he would come back and he, like, I was wrong. And I was...
Yes.
They do that.
Thank you, cool. Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Yes. Thanks, Greg. Is there anything in this world of today that you find most absurd?
Oh, goodness. What don't we...
It's a strange time right now.
It is.
The war. I mean, are we talking, like, worldly things? Or are we talking, like, entertainment-wise? Because that's pretty absurd as well. I think pretty much all of us have the same views on the war right now and the reasons that we're there. And I don't know, I'm kind of speaking... think for all of us, maybe not, but
probably the biggest deal in the world right now, I mean, that's going on. I'm personally, I'm upset with the entertainment value, TV, what they're feeding to children, what entertainment and what they deal important in life to youth, and I think it's complete bullshit.
The media is definitely the worst. The fear factory that they've just, you know, crammed down our throats and constantly keeping us on edge, and
the
world's going to collapse at any minute, and it's just you know
what they deem important to be happy is this mansion in the hills, diamonds and fat rides, and to me that's the total wrong idea of what children need to be listening to. And
Hollywood definitely has reached a new level of absurdity Pimp My Ride, and just the whole culture of, like, you know, like, you're not anybody unless you got a Prada bag, and you know, you're on TV and you got spinners on your Escalade, and it's just kind of ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Like, the whole, it's silly.
It's really ridiculous.
Like, Hollywood culture's just, I feel so far away from it, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
It's just good. Even though it's only an hour away from me, like, exactly. It's, you know, I feel so distanced from it. It's,
and it kind of goes hand in hand with what we're trying to do as far as, like, musically. We like to keep it real, and we're very, like, genuine about what we create. And, you know, as far as now being in a band and, like, trying to so-called, like, make it to that level, it's almost impossible unless you are willing to fabricate something that, you know, is nothing but pure, like, I mean, Paris Hilton crap. I mean,
Paris Hilton, I mean, even always comes
but
to
I
mind.
Mean, there's even other bands that are, I mean, rock bands that it's, I personally, I mean, it would be great to make it or get to that level, but then again, when you get to that level, yeah, it's like this whole other world of, like, you're going to sing this way, and you're going to sing about this, and, you know, we would never, ever, ever sell our souls like that, none of us. And so it's very frustrating trying to do what we're doing for a living, and then, you know, be up against entertainment and MTV and VH1 and blah, 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 you know, and it's just a little frustrating.
I'm a firm believer in, if you set your sights on something that is real and pure, no matter what it is, in some way, maybe not what TV and Hollywood deems successful, you will have success, and you will have a happiness, to me anyway. So
you stay true, if you stay true to your music and stay true to your fans, the fans will definitely reproduce and become more.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think they read that very well.
And even if you're not a mainstream band and on MTV every 5 minutes, you know, there's definitely a level you could reach with, you know, like, you can get very personal with a large number of people and never really be, like, true, like, completely in the limelight. And a band that really comes to mind right now is Sunny Day Real Estate. Achieved a level, they actually made it to a level that was, like, just about to crack, and they never made it. They got shot down. But they have thousands upon thousands of fans that love and adore them, and they could sell out almost any show that they played, and that's a level of success that I definitely wouldn't mind achieving.
Yeah,
just having a good fan base and a good following, and, you know, actually meaning something to your fans.
Well, look at Epitaph Records, where they started. You know, started a warehouse,
good example,
little tiny room, and you know, bands like NoFX and Pennywise, and they've stayed true to their labels, and, you know, Greg was going to sell that label, that was getting offers for millions and millions of dollars, and he stayed true, and he's totally successful, you know,
yeah,
and saved face. So that, I don't know, that's kind of an example to me.
That street cred.
Yeah.
Street cred.
Yeah, that's. I think that's very important, though.
For right. Sure.
I think that people, no matter how much like the music, I think they can see through that. The true fan cuts through all of that. And they realize when somebody's gone mainstream. They realize when somebody has, you know, sold his or her soul, so to speak.
Yeah.
People can tell.
Oh, yeah. Those are the types of fans you want to keep.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They'll keep coming back.
And this, I don't see anything wrong with going mainstream, but as long as it's on your own terms. If you can keep creating, you know, the music you want to play and portray yourself in the image that you want to portray yourself, why not, you know, introduce yourself to thousands, possibly millions of fans, you know, that could take something from your music.
Yeah.
Yeah, so long as you don't leave your...
Yeah, just don't... Yeah, exactly.
Keep your head with you.
Yes.
Excellent.
Check yourself.
Before you wreck yourself.
Excellent. What we commonly do is we have our musicians we interview do their best pirate impression. So if you could all join in and do that, we'd really appreciate that.
Pirate?
Arr! Ahoy, mateys! Shiver me timbers! Arr! That's mine.
One.
Sucks.
Got one. Scrape his belly with a rusty razor. Scrape his belly with a rusty razor. Scrape his belly with a rusty razor. Early in the morning.
That's good, Jess.
Awesome.
You guys. All hands on deck, right? We're going off of that fucking treasure right now.
I don't have one.
That's fine.
I really don't. You guys were like, you know, plus I'm a girl and there's not really girl pirates, right? I could be the wench that is locked up and they don't let out of the downstairs.
Fetch me some ale.
Yeah. I could do that.
Go ahead.
I could fetch you some ale. But other than that, I don't know. I could... I do that, actually.
Yeah.
For
that's
a living.
That's what I'm speaking of.
I guess I am a beer wench. Oh, no.
That's rewarding, too, I think.
Oh, the illustrious beer wench.
Yes.
Of course. Thank you all so much. There we have it. This is Pirate Davy Jones with Capital Thieves. A very, very great band. Give them a listen sometime, and you won't regret it.
Land ho.
Thanks.